Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Precious Lord, once again we thank you. And here we come, O Lord, that you may instruct us, that we may walk in the way that you so ordained for each and every one of us, so that God will become pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we continue with our series on why are you here on this part number 3. And on those are very vital and important, very vital, very, very, strong message that I think you need to take to heart, because like I keep saying, you are not here just for being here. All right, so you go once again with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 49, and that's our main text. We're looking at verse number 1 to Isaiah 49. Listen, O eyes, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, hath he made mention of my name. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. And I'm saying the calling is not what is done in church. The calling is your identity. The calling is your name, which is like I defined for you. The word name there is very important. You understand that. The Hebrew word is Shem. And like I said, the word Shem, I'm telling you, through the idea of definite and conspicuous position as a mark or memorial of individuality. Memorial of individuality. All these fingers, you see, they are not equal. They are unique in their functions. Of the fingers of God. They are unique in their functions. Is that okay? Right. So, you even want to take it from a spiritual perspective, they're supposed to be, what's that? The prophet, the pastor, the apostle, the evangelist, the teacher. And then when you want to clean your ears, you use the smallest finger, which is the teacher, that gets into your mind. They don't perform the same function. So there's individuality in your life. God called you uniquely for something. You didn't just come here. One of the reasons why you miss out most often on what I would call the things of life is because you've not been able to find your place the way God ordained it. Hallelujah. And this is very important. So, let me start looking at our Master Jesus. Remember, I told us as well in Jeremiah 5, verse number 1, number 5, when he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Remember that. And it's very important. These two scriptures are key for you to understand that God called you originally. And because you existed in the spirit before ever you came here. Whatever you are doing now, or you should be doing now, is a continuation of your true identity from the spirit dimension. Hallelujah. And like I'm trying to mention to you, that's what the Bible tells you, that when a man dies, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. The spirit gave, God gave you the spirit. God sent you here as a spirit being. And when you die, you go back. So why did he send you here? To perform specific assignment and duties and responsibilities for the expansion of his mind and thoughts on the face of the earth. You must understand that. Hallelujah. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at the life of Jesus a little bit. I want to share two things there for you. Excuse me. Hebrews 10 verse number 5. Praise God. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, talking about Jesus, he said, Sacrifice and offering thou wilt not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Don't forget, a body hast thou prepared me. You prepared me a body. And when I say this, sometimes people get confused. You see, the man that walked on the road in the land of Palestine was a lamb of God. Meaning, look at the next verse. It said, verse 6, in burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, thou had no pleasure. You were not interested in what they continue to do by the sacrifice that was being offered. So you decided to give me a body to come here to offer myself as the sacrifice that you take pleasure in. So the ultimate purpose of his coming down is to replace the demand of the law. Are you getting that? What the animals cannot do or could not do, his body was prepared for him to do that. So he got his assignment to take the place of the animals. And so it's called in John chapter 1 verse 29, the Lamb of God that taketh away what? The sin of the world. The animals could not take away the sin, so God had to prepare a body. So you see, you are in a body, but there is a reason why you are in this body. Come on now, are you following what I'm saying now? His body was for a purpose. His body was for an assignment. He existed in spirit, God, but he took a body to come to fulfill an assignment. So he didn't just come here for anything. And that is why, let me not go there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you following this? Let me see so now you can get it. Hebrews chapter 9, we'll come back here. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In other words, whatever expectation you have and have not to do with dealing with sin, sin have been dealt with once and for all. You already saved. Is that okay? So what is it coming for? People think it's coming for judgment or whatever the case may be. No, no, no. He is coming to deal with something. What is that? To deal with your mortal body. He appeared first with the blood to say the sacrifice has been offered. His other appearing is actually appearing from within you to subdue your physical body to be conformed to the glorious body of his after resurrection. That's what he's coming for. But it's resident within you. We take a whole topic on that. So go back to the book of Hebrews. Turn now. Look at verse number 7 now. So verse 6 says, in burnt offering and sacrifice for sin thou have no pleasure. Then said, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book. Hebrews 10 verse 7. In the volume of the book, Genesis to Revelation, it's written of me to do thy will. You are also here to do his will. There is an aspect of his that he has assigned for you to accomplish on the face of the earth. You are not here by accident. I keep reminding you. Praise God. Verse number 8. Above when he sins, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou will not, neither thou have pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse number 9. Then said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish what? The second. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. I came to do thy will. But the first, the Old Testament, the sacrifices, the rituals, he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. To establish what? The second covenant with his body of sacrifice. For where there is no remission of sin, where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So he came in to shed the blood so that sins can be forgiven. So all sins are forgiven. They are paid for. Prices are being paid. And I need to correct this impression. I said it before. Let me say it again. especially for those who are observing through the telecast. Get the point right. It's a wrong teaching to say Jesus carried your sin. Jesus never carried your sin. Is that okay? Jesus never carried your sin. Jesus carried the consequences of your sin. Get the difference right. If he carried your sin, that means he was a sinner. That means he died as a sinner. And if he carried your sin, that means his blood cannot bring you to perfection because the blood is already sinful. So there was no sin in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 said that. Remember that. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Is that okay? He said, but our iniquities were what? Laid on him. The punishment, the chastisement for our peace were laid on him. It never was a sinner. It never carried sin. That's what some people will tell you. Jesus carried his own cross because you're a sinner. Therefore, you carry your own cross. That's what he's telling you because you are a sinner. It's rubbish. That's no doctrine. That's no theology. That's no Bible. So don't take that. Jesus never sinned. Never did he carry your sin. He carried the consequences of your sin. Is anybody following that? Are you with me? Okay. So now go with me to Hebrews 2 verse 14. You have to understand why Jesus came. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that have the power of death, that is the devil. Amen? And deliver them, verse 15, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? To bondage. For verily he took not on the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of who? Abraham. What's the seed of Abraham? Flesh now. Is that okay? He did that so that through that medium he would destroy he that had the power of death and set you free who have always been thinking about death, always in fear of death, always, every time you do, even if you dream and you eat now, the next thing that comes to your mind, you are going to die because you ate in the dream. You live your life based on fear. Because fear was introduced in Genesis chapter 3. That was the beginning of fear. The Bible said they hid themselves because they were afraid. Fear came and boldness was taken away. And so right from that time, the devil intimidates you every now and then. You're traveling on the road, you're thinking about fear. This is Christmas season, and you're going to hear some knockout now. Fear will grip you. Maybe armed robbers has come. You're always thinking about fear. Jesus came to take this thing away from your heart. Amen. Come on, is anybody following what I'm talking about? You got to come to that understanding. This is why he came. To destroy that power that makes you always to be afraid, even when there's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. In the natural, let me be explicitly on this. How many of you understand that if you're walking in a forest and you see a snake, the first response for the snake is to start running away from you? How many of you notice that? Good. So the devil is always afraid of you, but you are afraid of the devil at the same time. That's what you don't understand. Devil is afraid of you. There is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. The Bible says even the smith that blew the fire on the coal, I created them. God created even the devil, if you will. He's afraid of you. But it's you that are afraid of the devil. And God said, I have come so that you will live with boldness, take away the spirit from your heart. You are not dying tomorrow. Did you hear what I said? I said you are not dying tomorrow. Forget about it. You are not dying. Just live with fear, everything. Oh, fear, you know, whatever. You can't. Jesus came to take away that. And so, for him to do that, he had to become like you. Like your own brother. And that's because there's a law that talks about the kinsman redeemer. If your brother is owing some amount of money that he cannot pay and taken to slavery, you can come and pay up the debt and set your brother free. So for him to do that, as a kinsman redeemer, he has to become like us, as human beings, so that he can set us free from those laws, the bondages of the devil. and everything that Adam has sold us into. Amen. So I'm just giving you just one or two things that Jesus came to do. But don't forget what we read before. In the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will. And so that's why, remember when he was praying in the garden, fear gripped him. When he think about it, thought about the cross, and he was not praying, oh God, if you will, take this cross from me, take this cup from me. God said, this cup, you're going to drink it. That's what we said before you went there. That's why some of your prayers cannot be answered. The only way Jesus God answered the prayer of Jesus was to send angels to come and strengthen him. But I'm not taking it away from you. You already said, it's written on me to do thy will. And now you are saying, take this cup from me. So no. You got to continue with the cross, man. Hallelujah. There are some crosses that God gave to you. There is nothing you're going to do about it. You have to carry the cross because the end of it is a glory. That is why Hebrews 2, the Bible now tells you, Hebrews chapter 12, rather verse number 2, say, for the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross. Praise God. Is it making sense to you? All right. Now let me show you something that's going to shock your mind now. Because you see, some of this will, some of these purposes you are going to be accomplishing, you need somebody to help you. Otherwise, you can't. Let me just read this. Let me go ahead of my time. John 13, verse 24. This had to do with Jesus, you know, the Last Supper. What do you call the Last Supper? Right? So, the last Passover meal in the true sense. All right. Praise God. So, I was looking at John 13, verse 24. Hallelujah. John 13, 24. Like I said, this was supposed to be the Last Supper. The Bible says, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, because Jesus said, we're going to be betrayed, that he should ask who it is of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? Hallelujah. Verse 26. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simeon. Hallelujah. Okay, this is him. Who is going to betray you? The man that I'm going to give this up to is going to be the one to betray me. They never knew who he was. So by the time he gave this up, everybody got to know it was Judas. And look at verse 27. And after the sob, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus to him, thou that doest do quickly. Does this thing make any sense to you? What you are assigned for to do, do quickly. What was that? It is time for you to go and betray me to the priest so that I can go to the cross. See, if I say this now, religious world will get against me. This man was a priest. No man has the ability to offer the lamb. The betrayal of Jesus was supposed to be the function of the priest to get him to the cross. What you want to do, do quickly. You know what we are here for. You know the role you are supposed to play in my life. In getting me to the cross, do fast. You don't like betrayers. But the thing is, you can't crucify yourself. Somebody have to crucify you. Somebody have to betray you. Your betrayal leads you to your destiny. It's just that you don't understand when people betray you. Betrayal takes you to your destiny. But they have put a check on yourself. There is a lot to say on this man. Somebody will say, but why did he die? I mean, Jesus said all of those things about that. Let me show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10. Hallelujah. You see, you feel people who betray you are your enemies. It's just that you have no understanding. There is something they are killing in your life or betraying you. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 10. Are you there with me? For godly sorrow worketh repentance and salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. This is the problem of Judas. Instead of repenting towards God, he repented towards men. He took the 30 pieces of silver and took it back to the priest. How many of you understand that? He should have repented towards Jesus, and at the end of it, Jesus knew exactly what he was supposed to do. So, Judas died because of foolishness. The same thing that happened to Ahithophel. Because his counsel was not taken, he went and hung himself. Judas went and hung himself because he forgot he need to have what is called godly repentance. Instead, he repented towards men. Otherwise, get this right. Himself and Peter, they committed the same crime of betraying Jesus. How many of you remember that? Peter betrayed Jesus when he came 3 times. You are the one. Say, no, I don't even know that man. Who says? So, but your language say, no, you are not listening well. Not me. I don't know him. He denied him 3 times. That's betrayal. But when he looked at Jesus, Jesus looked at him. He became sorrowful. Godly sorrow. Did you get that? So what was the problem of Judas? Worldly sorrow. Instead of godly sorrow. That's why he went to hang himself. What am I trying to make you understand? Judas played a very significant role in that body that I prepared me. How many of you understand that? A body that prepared me, oh Lord, to do that will. How is he going to carry out the will? Somebody have to betray him so that he gets to the cross. And Judas was readily available. And guess what? He said, the man I will give that soap, that will be the one. And when he gave him the soap, what happened? Satan entered into him. That means Satan was not there until he gave him the soap. So it was an agreement. Do you understand this? He used him as an instrument to accomplish his goal. And God will use people like that in your life. Oh, this person just betrayed me. Oh, that person just betrayed me. You don't understand how relevant betrayal is in overcoming certain situations in your life. It's a hard one. And like I told you, it's looking very controversial. But this is the truth of the scripture. Didn't the brothers of Joseph betray him? Come on. These things are all there in the scriptures. So why do you think your betrayal is unique? It's not unique. It's common to man. If you have a purpose for you sometime to accomplish that goal in the hands of God, you're going to have men that will betray you. This is why Jesus will speak to us in Matthew 5 verse 43. Matthew 5, 43, 44. Look at it. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. You have heard. You've been told. That's what you believe. That's why you pray your fire prayers. But listen to this. Verse 44. But, the language change. You've heard. But, you must change your thinking now. I said unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you, and do what? Persecute you. This is your response to betrayal. I don't know if you're getting this. If you really want to accomplish the will of God on the earth, you need some betrayers. You need some men to speak evil of you. You need some men that will deny you publicly. You need some men that way. That man, I don't know him. The more men try to betray you, the more glory that comes your way. You're walking towards the fulfillment of your prophetic destiny. You are going to be betrayed. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying now? So I'm saying this so that when you get some betrayers tomorrow, don't hate the people that are betraying you. They are working out the divine purpose in your life. It gives you sense when man betrays you. Hallelujah. It brings you to a place of start checking yourself. What is it that I'm not doing right? So Judas did a very good job. But the church can't see that. But I mean, if you understand that so many people in the church are even betraying Jesus in another form. By our life, by our character, by attitude, we are betraying him. We are crucifying him afresh every day. But we point against Judas, who did a perfect priestly ministry. This guy was a priest. Only a priest can offer the lamb. And without his betrayer, Jesus will get to the cross. Is it making sense to you? This is a hard one, like I said before, and it's not conventional. I'm sorry, I don't preach conventional messages. I preach what God reveals to me. As a matter of fact, I was sitting here while they were doing this Sunday school, and the Lord just shared that with me. I have to put it in my note. It wasn't there when I was coming in. Are you following mine? So there's a point there. Perfectly stated. He gave him this all. Satan entered into him. That was all the way. This is why he discovered. Now, let me even tell you this. You know, Jesus is God. He's omniscient. Is that okay? He knows everything. But guess what? The Bible says he went to pray overnight, and when he came out, he chose 12 to be disciples. That means God gave him the names of the people that he must accept or walk with. And Judas was among them. They did not know that Judas was a thief. They did not know that Judas was going to betray him. He knew from day one. You need a betrayer somewhere along the line in your life. This is a hard one. This is why walking in the spirit is completely different from just being, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, you're a Christian. You sure you're a Christian? You watch for it. All of the things that worked against Jesus are going to work against you to prove your sonship. Hallelujah. He went to pray. God gave him 12 names. He came out and called the 12 and called them apostles. He was an apostle. How many of you understand that? Judas was an apostle. You think God, Ephesians 4, he said he gave gift unto men. Among the people are what? Prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, and teachers. And Judas was a gift. He was an apostle. He lost it because of 2 Corinthians 7:10. Worldly sorrow that leadeth to death, and not the godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance and what? And salvation. That was it. So some of you need to have your head screwed up to know the mind of God. God gave him the name. Take Matthew, take Mark, take John, take Bartholomew, take this, and then take Judas. Let him there. And this guy will be the one to betray you. And so when it was time, Judas said, Jesus said, bros, you know why we are here. That what you need to do, do quickly. Don't delay anymore. It is time. It's time to go to the cross. Go now and tell the priest to come and get me arrested. You know why we are here. You know why you came. You know why I came. Praise God. Somebody said, you mean Judas? Yes, he fulfilled his ministry perfectly well, but died in ignorance. Are you there with me? You like that? I know it's hard, but that's the truth. Amen. Don't die in ignorance like Judas. That's all. Even if you betray someone, repent of it, like the brothers of Joseph did. They went and knelt before Joseph and cried before Joseph. But Joseph said, no, if you haven't done that, I won't be here. God sent me here to save lives. And the only way to get to the place of saving life for you to betray me. You betrayed me, sold me into slavery, took me into dungeon, gave to the Arabian people. They came in, bought me over as a slave boy, brought me into the house of Potiphar. The wife accused me of the things I've never done. But I have nothing evil against the wife of Potiphar either. All of these things was to channel me to come to this place of being the king in Egypt. I've forgiven you. I don't have any problem against you. You just didn't know that God used you, just like God used Judas. Hallelujah! Are you getting what I'm saying here? So don't have anybody in your mind who has betrayed you, who have insulted you. Don't worry about that. Think about what fulfillment you are supposed to have at the end of the day. You are walking towards your destiny. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. And so, he just simply told you, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and do what? Persecute you. This is your assignment. This is your responsibility. You never see Judas trying to, I just want you to get this right. If you are to perform the ministry of Judas, know when to stop. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you have discovered I have the ministry of Judas for this man, just know when to stop. That's all. Otherwise, something will get into your head and you miss out entirely and you kill yourself. You'll be the one to kill yourself. Not God. You'll be the one to kill yourself. I don't know if you're getting that. So, if you are a Judas in my ministry, know where to stop. So that you don't kill yourself, because I'll feel bad when you kill yourself out of ignorance. I'm learning to love my enemies every day. I'm learning to pray for them every day. Hallelujah. Are you with me? All right. Can we take another one? I don't know. We may have to come back here next week. Go with me to John 1, verse number 13. Whew, glory to God. Why are you here? Remember, that's what we're dealing with. So you have a ministry. You have a ministry. Everybody got a ministry. Praise God. John 1:19. The Bible says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Who are you? I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are thou Elijah? He said, I am not. Are thou the prophet? He answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What said thou of yourself? You need to know about yourself. You need to tell people precisely who you are. Who art thou yourself? You are not the Christ. You are not one of the prophets. So who are you? Can you tell us exactly who you are? Now before he tells them who he was, he first tells them who he is not. So the first place to start is to know who you are not. Do you understand that? Don't assume anything. You must know who you are not. Don't do what you are not created for. Don't do what you are not designed for. Don't stay in the offices that God never called you into. Don't take assignment that you are not equipped for. Don't study subject that you don't have the ability for. I am not. That's where to start from. If you really want to know who you are, you must first know who you are not. Is that okay? Verse number 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying where in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith Isaiah the prophet. And that is Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 3. Jesus said in volume of the book, it's written about me. John said, according to Isaiah 40 and verse number 3, I have to prepare the way of the Lord. So every one of you here is out to fulfill a scripture. There is something God has in mind for you while you are here. And it's there in the scriptures. That's why you should read the book. You should read the book. When God created you, He designed a manual to follow you, to accompany you. When you study the manual, you know what is at fault, what is faulty in your machine, whatever, and how you can fix it. Everything is recorded in the book. So John said, I am the voice of one crying, we are in the wilderness. He was referring now to Isaiah 40 and verse number 3. What scripture can you reference about your life? I'll take you down the line. Next week, I'm going to continue. And I'll show you even Paul quoted from Isaiah about his life. Jesus said in the volume of Luke is about me. John said, I came to fulfill Isaiah 40, verse 3. Paul said, I'm going to tell you about Isaiah 49. Is that okay? So I'm asking you, what scripture can you really say you are here to fulfill? That's the problem. You know my own scripture, don't you? If you are a member of this house, you should know my own scripture. You're looking at me like that, don't you? Praise God. My scripture is 2 Timothy 1:11. You should know that by now. You should know who you are. The child of God. You are not here by accident. There's a purpose why He sent you here. Mary fulfilled scriptures. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring birth. So what is Mary's life? I came to fulfill the book of Isaiah. Mary fulfilled scriptures. Praise God. Are you following me? So yeah, John said, this is me, the voice of one crying, well, in the wilderness. Praise God. Look at Isaiah 40 and see what he says there. Exactly what John quoted. Isaiah 40 verse 3. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight on the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough places made plain. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The glory of the Lord. What's the glory of the Lord? Jesus Christ. Preparing the way for Jesus to come. This is why I was born. So John knew why he came here. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, not the voice of one crying in the city. He knew where he has to be. He knew his location. Because his location is tied to his assignment. Are you still there with me? You know, I told you before, we are out here because this is my location. Right? Ever before I left the village down here, the Lord gave me a script, He gave me a word, and He said, the land that you are going unto, I've given to you for a possession. And that's what I told you. When they brought the offer of a land at Usubide, I said, no, God said, go to worry, and the land you're given, I'm giving to you for possession. So you're not surprised we're having all of this thing here. Even though we have not developed it, we're going to develop it. The Lord will say, give it to our possession. It's going to be a provision for us to develop the other part of the land. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you are not here by accident. I want you to understand that. So, find a scripture for your life. Study the word. Pray earnestly. Ask God questions. Who am I? And John said, no, I'm not one of those prophets. Let me show you something and then we'll close for today. I'll take you down. Are you liking this in any case? Hallelujah. Okay, let me show you something. You know, I was trying to say this the other time because it's not just about being in ministry. It's about even physical things that you do, like we find in the case of Bezalel in Exodus 31. I call you by name, right? And my spirit is upon you for craftsmanship, for workmanship, for everything. So it's not just about being a ministry. How many of you understand that we have Christians, a number of them, who have made significant contributions to science? For example, Michael Faraday was a devout Christian who discovered electromagnetic induction, which is the principle behind electric motors and generators. It was discovered by a Christian, Michael Faraday. Your generator, you're using electromagnetic conduction. It was discovered by who? A Christian. Don't waste your years because you're a Christian praying to go to heaven. Make life better for people. We are enjoying generators today because a Christian was able to come up with something about electromagnetic conduction. So it's not about ministry. Why are you here? Generators we are using now. That's what I'm telling you. The man that discovered the electromagnetic conduction was Michael Faraday, and he was a devout Christian. God sent you here to reveal some things that mankind have never seen. Don't waste your time. Spend days on the mountain praying and fasting so that you go to heaven and get a mansion. What a religious deception. You have no mansion. Go up there, you're getting nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know what religion tell you? So the more money you bring in, the bigger your mansion will be. And then they take all the money and build mansion for themselves here. No, they build a mansion for themselves here. But you show it to be mansion. Oh, but they are building their own here. Deception. You are the mansion of God if you don't understand that. Go read my book there. My father's had a mini mansion. If you don't have it, go buy a copy and read it. You are God's mansion. The word there is money. It means a dwelling place. It means a temple. You are God's temple. You are God's dwelling place. You are God's house. Jesus was simply saying, hey, don't worry, people. There are other people that are going to come into the Father's house, which is the church where God is going to dwell by the Holy Spirit. People tell you, when you go to heaven, you're going to get a mansion. I remember the youngest daughter, I remember when we were still up there. Somebody was preaching on TV one day, and she just came and shut the TV. Then I said, why did you do that? He said, this man is teaching nonsense. Then we're still in the van encounter. Small girl. I said, what do you mean, teaching nonsense? He said, he's saying, do you know why Jesus has not come? Because all the children that have been born today, God is building a mansion for them. That's why Jesus has not come. He said, daddy, that is nonsense. Because I know there's nothing like mansion there. Do you understand that? So, why Jesus has not come? Because he's building a mansion for everybody born today. When will people stop giving back? That means we never come. But these are people that you listen to. These are the people that I don't understand. No understanding of scriptures. They make you lose your potentials and exercising your potentials here on the face of the earth. That's why religion is the most deadly thing you can ever imagine. Because no matter how educated you are, religion can make a fool of you. In the midst of such congregation where doctors and lawyers and professors, I don't know if you get what I'm talking about, but I can still believe that crap that a child in second primary school can't even believe. They still believe it. So what am I saying? Michael Faraday is the one that originated this thing you're using on your world, your generator. He was a Christian. So don't do your born again and be waiting to fly away. You are not flying away. All your flights have been canceled because there's a bad weather. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you talk about genetics, one devout, wonderful Christian was responsible. Those of you in the medical, right? And that is Gregor Mendel. Gregor Mendel was a friar who made important discovery in the field of genetics. He was a Christian. I'll make you see this. You see, when God gave you the mind from the beginning, He didn't take it away from you when you became a Christian. He only asked you to renew it. So what it means is, you can bring discoveries that can better a human being and uphold His principles, as compared to where you are not a Christian and you use that ingenuity to manufacture bombs that kills people. That's the difference. You as a Christian will manufacture things that people have not seen that will better the life of humanity. But an unbeliever will manufacture things that will destroy people. So the scripture is, be ye transformed by the renewed word of your mind. So if you are a Christian, you think the right way God intends us to think. And the ability He has given to you from day one is available for you to make use of to make life better than other people. Praise God, somebody. So we have this man, Gregor Mendel. You know, he made the wonderful discovery on the field of genetics. We have somebody like Isaac Newton. He was a great Christian scientist who made many important contributions to physics and mathematics. Isaac Newton. Next week, I'll show you. You think it was by accident that God gave the dimensions of the temple to Moses? No. Moses was very vast in mathematics and geometry. So figures were not a problem to him. So, hallelujah! He understood all of that in Egypt. For those 40 years in Egypt, he learned geometry, he learned mathematics. I mean, he learned astronomy. So he could look up into the sky and see things. When he was writing the book of Genesis, he said God told Abraham to look unto the stars. Moses understood what all of those aspects of life were supposed to mean. He studied all of those naturally. Some of the things you know will determine how God will use you. Do you understand that? Am I helping anybody? I need you to think and be who God has really called to be His child. So anything you are doing now, I'll let you see that. Say, whatever thing you do, do it toward to the glory of God. That may God need to be glorified in whatever thing you are doing. Hallelujah. So, I mean, what I'm talking about is, whatever field of life that you find yourself, discover where you are supposed to be. Know that God has called you to be that. Bring an invention from your area. Are you a medical doctor? Let's see new discoveries. Hallelujah. Are you a chemistry man? Let's see new discoveries of the medications that you are bringing to life that can change the system of man. Come on. How many of you understand all of those things that are going on? They are all part of the principles of the kingdom of God. So, I'm not here to give you false hope of flying away tomorrow. I'm here to make you know who you are supposed to be. To discover new realms of life that will make people enjoy this art. For God has given the art to the sons of men. Don't leave this art without a contribution. Make this life better than you met it. Am I talking to somebody? Put your name on record somewhere. Your real name, which is that which is called you for. Your that individuality, that identity that you have that no other person can share with you. Manifest it. If you're a trader, trade so well that men will know that there's a trader there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand up, let's pray. Glory to God. I just want you to talk to God very briefly. Just talk to God.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.